How's it, Connie?
Yep.
Move that, yeah. It has to be so that there's a, it's gotta delete mic here, so. I don't know. We studied Aries. Aries is the eighth sign. Everybody find Aries?
I actually go in the middle to get Ben and Paul started on their community service here and there.
You see the monster cetus?
Yeah.
Right above the monster cetus is the lamb, Aries. And the three decans of Aries are the first one is Cassiopeia. The second one is, anybody remember? Second one is
Perseus.
Perseus. Who's the third?
Is it Aruka?
No. Cetus.
Oh, Cetus, yeah, the monster.
The monster is the third decan. The second decan is Cassiopeia. Now find Cassiopeia. She's
right above Andromeda. Yeah.
I don't see it.
Sort of right.
She's right to the left hand of Cephas, Cepheus, the king. She's the woman enthroned. She is the same woman as we studied in the last decan, I mean the last sign was Andromeda, where Andromeda is the woman in shackles right above the fish there. And she now, the shackles have been removed because of Aries, so now she's the woman enthroned. And she's to the immediate left hand of the king, Cepheus, or that he's the perfect type of Christ. Okay? Now, Andromeda was not only chained, she was chained in the myth so that as food for the sea monster, Cetus. So she was going to be fish food for whatever that thing is, for this monster, Cetus. We talked about that before, but the Arabic name, well, earlier she was in Andromeda, the woman bound. Now, we see the same woman freed, delivered, and enthroned. The Arabic name for this sign is Al-Sadr, or Seder. It means the freed. The Egyptian name is Set, S-E-T, which means sitting as a queen. The Greek name is Cassiopeia, the enthroned, or the beautiful. The Persian name is Ruka, R-U-C-H-A, the enthroned. The Chaldean name is Dat al-Kursa, or the enthroned. Now, have any of you have ever heard of the ancient Arabian astronomer's name was Al-Bumazar?
What nationality was that?
He was Arabian.
Oh.
No.
Okay, well, he's best known for the theory that sort of ties into Aries, into one before it, Aquarius. He's best known for the theory that the world was created when the seven visible planets, the only seven planets that were visible at the time, were in a row, in conjunction, and they were all in the first degree of Aries. You know what that means? The sign of Aries. A degree, remember how many in a circle has 360 degrees. Each degree is a particular distance. And so, if it's 360 degrees in a circle, then a degree is, that's too complicated. I'll just it's a particular distance. And the Earth was created when that planetary alignment was in the first degree, that means the very beginning of Aries. But he also says that the world will end when the same planetary alignment is in the last degree or first degree, the last degree of Pisces or the first degree of of Aquarius. So again, we have this idea that something humongous is going to happen on the dawning of the age of Aquarius. It isn't peace. Remember, we studied all the things that the different philosophers say about it. So anyway, that's, you'll have to listen to the tape. He also wrote a fairly complete description of, from all kinds of ancient sources. He was one of the first collators of the ancient sources of the meanings, of the ancient meanings of the 12 signs of the zodiac and the 36 decans. And then his work was used by Francis Ralston, who in the 1850s completed the study and made it far more intellectually accurate. Ralston was her field of study was the ancient languages.
Wow, that gives a lot more credibility to the words.
And she became fascinated with the signs of the zodiac after becoming familiar with Al-Bumazar. And so she began a lifelong study of the original meaning of the signs of the zodiac. She's the first source for everybody else that's written about it.
Let me just add, you know, if you want to download her stuff, it's on this web.
Yeah, I sent the link to that, I think, to everybody.
Set is also the Ethiopian name, you know, the Ethiopian name for a woman, probably for Queen too. I don't know. But
yeah,
I
yes.
I just thought that was interesting.
All right.
A good name for my wife. Say, like it said.
Yeah. Al-Bumazar says that Cassiopeia was originally, the name was originally the daughter of splendor. Now, in the terms of the star names, in her left breast, it's Shadir, S-C-H-E-D-I-R. It's a Hebrew word meaning the freed. And then there's another, the star that's near the chair top, the bright one, the brightest one there, is called, its star name is Kaf, C-A-P-H, and it means the branch. And she's holding, you can't see it very well, but she's totally attendant with preparing herself for the marriage. And so she's messing with her hair with one hand, but in that hand she has the branch. And that means that she's holding the branch because she's been victorious over all of the... And then she's what?
Nothing. It's a big one, because I think we see a better one than this one. Yeah, it's pretty clear. Here.
With the right hand, she's arranging her robe, and with her left hand she's adorning her hair. Her foot and the chair both sit on the Arctic Circle. Now this sign is always visible.
Yeah.
And if you've ever looked up in the sky and seen this, it's very bright normally. Mm-hmm. It looks like a W. Mm-hmm. Well, that W is Cassiopeia. And you can see it on the... It's an upside down W on...
Yeah, that's a way of finding the North Star, too, because the point in the center more or less points to the right.
It's just a it's
the bright stars, the five brightest stars.
It looks more like a W up in the sky than it does here in the picture.
Yeah, because this is out of sync here.
Yeah, that's pretty distinct.
Now, a historian named Pluke, P-L-U-C-H-E, he's another language expert. He says that Cassiopeia actually means it means, quote, delivered from the evil one. Which, who knows? It's above my pay grade.
So, what are you saying? This is visible anytime you look in the sky at night?
In the Northern Hemisphere, it's always visible. Or many of those aren't visible all the time, depending on which season it is.
Yes, depending on the time of night. But it's visible now in the evening.
Yeah, we saw it clearly when we were out at
Possum Kingdom.
Possum Kingdom.
Did you want to see it, Rachel?
At her right hand is the star-crowned king, Cepheus, who we studied last time. He's the third deck, or the decan he's the third decan of whatever we just studied. I'm getting myself
Pisces.
Confused.
Pisces.
Huh?
Pisces. The third decan of Pisces?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. All right. So at her right hand is the king, and he's holding his scepter out to her. Can you see that in these smaller maps? Well, sort of. Now, let's look at a bunch of scriptures about this mystery of Cassiopeia and the bride and all that good stuff. Let's start in Isaiah 54. Starting in verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt no longer be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. The Lord hath called thee, as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou hast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Thy Maker is thine husband. All right, now let's go to Isaiah 62. Starting verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, Hephzibah. That is my delight. And thy land, Beulah, or married. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married.
For so, Hephzibah means delight?
Yeah, it means delight in her. My delight is in her, is what it literally means. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 31. Verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Built is a bad translation of the word there. It should be edified. It should say edify wherever it says built there. Again I will edify thee, and thou shalt be edified, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. And then go down to verse 7. Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout with the chief of the nations. Publish ye praise, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant. Behold, I'll bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth. And with them the blind and the lame, and the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child, together a great company shall return. And they shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. Anyway, that's enough of that one. Now let's go to Ezekiel 16. Starting in verse 'cause it ends up, I thought it was a good one for a while, but it ends up talking about Israel's unfaithfulness. Never mind. Let's go to Psalm. Now, you got to, in order to understand what, I left something important out. I've called thee as a woman forsaken. For in another place he said, for a small moment I hid my face from thee. And it was during the time that she was in bondage here in the last decade, as Andromeda. Okay?
Where's the Kleenexes?
Well, I don't know that we have any.
Drawer, go to the, just to the left of the refrigerator, there's a drawer between the stove and the refrigerator.
Left of the bottom?
No,
the top. Drawer.
Oh, the drawer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
Anyway, so this is referring to, like some of you feel, forsaken. And you're forsaken for a while. And the lesson of it is the same as Andromeda, the woman in chains, is the same woman that's now enthroned. Okay? But now let's go to let's go to Revelation 19. We always have to go back to there. Remember 17, Revelation 17 is the prediction of the doom of Babylon. Revelation 18 is the fall of Babylon. Excuse me, now we're in 19. And I got the hiccups. We're seeing if I have the hiccups. This is us waiting to see whether I have the hiccups.
Revelation 19.
Apparently I don't have the hiccups. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, with the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen? And let's go to 126. Psalm 126. And don't start singing it, those that are here a lot. This is one of the Psalms of Ascent. Let's just look at so it, so Pete isn't
so sorrow with the joyful sorrow.
No, see, I said not to do that. First of all, you say it's such a wonderful man he is for hanging around with me all these years.
Well, I just think the world of Pete. That's all.
Oh, and Pete, sweet. See, you don't know the dark overlord side of him.
I haven't seen that side of it.
You haven't seen it either?
I hope you never do either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's one more that we're going to read, because the bride, and I couldn't find it, but the bride somewhere is compared to the gold of Ophir. And I think that's Psalm 45. hope it says it here. Yeah, this is a psalm for the king's marriage. So let's read the whole thing. My heart is indicting. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with glory and majesty. In thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and upright and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloe and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is the Lord, and worship him. And worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Well, anyway, the whole mystery of Cassiopeia cannot be understood without seeing Andromeda, because it's the same woman, first in chains and then adorned at the right hand of the king, the left hand of the king. And we could, that's probably a good place to stop. I don't want to start on Cetus yet.
Hey, let me ask you a question. That young man, that I didn't say anything because I didn't want to get involved in the conversation, but they're going back and forth about the 144,000, and that's all that's getting, you know what I'm saying? How do you even begin that? I didn't say, I just love listening.
Well, it's the 144,000.